Blog Talk Radio.
If you follow us on Twitter, you see that we created a new logo this week. Mike, you see the new logo?
I did, and I see that my name is now on it.
Yes. I figured it was about time we made you official.
We
All
put
right. a ring on it. We put a ring on it, if you will.
Thanks.
Well, I kept doing it. I was tweeting stuff out, and I'm like, you know, it just says Assignment Football with Thomas Duck. And you know, just kind of implied some other dude, whatever. So I put Mike's name on it. And I was kind of really pleased because, again, I'm going through trying to find images. And I found an image that was similar, yet kind of updated to our old image. So it was good. Came out really well. So we're excited for that. That song you just heard was a song by a band called At the Drive-In. And that is One Armed Scissor, which obviously makes it really useful. But it's good. They're off the Grand Royal label from way, way back when they were one of the first bands signed by the Beastie Boys, all that good stuff. So we have a huge show for you today. Obviously, we've got three games to discuss from Thursday, although I'm not really looking forward to discussing one of those games. And we've got a bunch of other stuff. We'll be joined a little bit later on by Brian Yates. If you know our good friend Alan Zlotarczynski and the NFL Standard, then you're quite familiar with Brian Yates because he's his partner over there. Brian's going to come and help us break down the New England at Denver game later this evening, the night game tonight, Sunday Night Football. But first, before we get going, I just want to remind you that if you're looking for professional financial advice regarding retirement planning, investments, and life insurance, you should contact Matt Govendo and receive a complimentary planning analysis. Call Matt today at 315-671-1864. And if you'd like to join our conversation, the number to call here is area code 347-637-2812. You call up and just jump on the show with us. We'd love to have a conversation with you. We love talking to guests and callers as they call in, and we talk about football with us. But we do, like I said, we do have three football games from this past Thursday, Thanksgiving. I hope everyone had a fantastic Thanksgiving. Mine was slightly depressing for a while, but then I got over it and decorated my Christmas tree and felt a lot better about myself. And I watched Elf. It's a big tradition here. We watch Elf and White Christmas every Thanksgiving, and it just puts you right into the mood. Old Bing Crosby, blah, 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 blah. But anyway, so we'll start with the first one first. So quick question, Mike. Is Philadelphia toast? Are they done?
Oh, God. They've been awful all year. You remember the first Dallas game? Of course you remember the first Dallas game when DeMarco Murray at halftime had something like 11 carries for negative 18 yards. To me, the writing was on the wall right there. Like Chip Kelly runs this run-first offense, and they couldn't run at all. They made Dallas's defense look like world beaters, where at the beginning of the season we were talking about how good they were against the run. Well, that's since sort of been exposed by other teams, so you know it isn't a case of Dallas is really, really, really good against the run. They're all right. But they made Philly look awful, and then it's only kind of snowballed downhill from there. Once again, they've just been torched the last couple weeks. Their defense can't stop anybody.
All right, so let me go this way with it then. Okay, because they've given up – you're absolutely right. They've given up 90 points in the last two games, and it's not like they played – you know, I mean, Tampa Bay's okay. They're actually a really okay team. I actually think Tampa has a real shot at making the playoffs, but –
Yeah, but that's the most points Tampa scored all year.
Right. You give up 90 points to Tampa and Detroit, who are
that's the most points Detroit scored all year.
Right, who is not exactly the best teams in the league. But they're, you know, they're each improving. But so
Detroit started the season 0-7. You made Matthew Stafford and Calvin Johnson look like they were back in their third year in the league again. And they're, like, old at this point.
Yeah.
They're not what they once were, but you made them look like what they once were.
Correct. All right, so this is what I'm going to say about this, because I had a conversation. I've had this conversation before. Chip Kelly's offense, everyone wanted to anoint him as the next great genius offensive mind in the NFL, and his offense is a gimmick, and it doesn't work unless you have vastly superior players to your opponent, which works great in college. But in the NFL, it doesn't work because if you notice, it's the third year. Defensive coordinators have figured this out. And what he's trying to do is he's trying to go sideways and then up. Okay, so now you got your running game. You're trying to go sideways with your running game, which works great in college because if you've got better players, they're just faster than the other guys. This is the NFL. Defensive linemen are faster than linebackers and safeties that play in college. So once people figure out the scheme and what it looks like and what the keys are, you're done. And now his running game doesn't work. He doesn't have receivers who can particularly catch the ball. He doesn't have offensive linemen who can particularly block anybody. So now it's done. So this is my question off of that. Is Chip Kelly the head coach in Philadelphia next year?
I don't know. If I was running Philadelphia, he wouldn't
be. Remind you, the USC job is open.
Yeah, it's not that Chip Kelly's not going to have other offers. I think I agree with you as far as his effectiveness in college. I'll say this. I think he had a lot to do with the roster not being that good, so it's hard to say part of the reason he's not good is the roster's not good. But I think that's the case. I don't think Sam Bradford or Mark Sanchez can run his offense. I think they should have found a way to draft Marcus Mariota if they wanted to run Oregon's offense. And if you look, I guess, exemplary of what you just said about Kelly, what have all those running backs from Oregon done in the NFL? All those guys who are world beaters in college, LaMichael James, Kenyon Barner, like these guys who are just unstoppable college players that can't be caught.
The only one from Oregon who's any good, and he wasn't any good in their scheme. He didn't fit their scheme in college. He's a battering ram.
He's an NFL running back.
Yeah, exactly.
I mean, you know, he was good at punching dudes in the head after games. I enjoyed that.
Yes. He was fiery.
But you can see sort of the players that were effective for Chip Kelly in college are not effective NFL players. And that's a good example of why his scheme isn't effective in the NFL. Because no matter what you put together, you're never going to get to the point where all your guys are faster than the NFL defense.
No, absolutely not. Because it's not, because in college, you recruit. So you get a chance to just go out and get everybody that you want. But in the pros, you've got to wait your turn. You've got 31 other teams who get to pick before you pick again in the draft. So they're going to take all those fast guys, just like you take all the fast guys. So it just doesn't work that way in the NFL. And I don't know that Chip Kelly's system is a good fit for the NFL. And thank God, because I hate the zone read option. The read option offense is awful. I hate it.
Well, for what it's worth, how can you even run that with Sam Bradford and Mark Sanchez, though? They need Mariota or Cam Newton. There's only maybe five quarterbacks in the NFL that can effectively run that. And if you are effectively running that and you're using that as your primary attack, your quarterback's just going to get hurt.
Right. Well, the thing is, with Sanchez, he will at least pull it and run once in a while. Sam Bradford has no interest in doing that because he's not trying to get himself hurt because he's trying to get a contract. And Chip Kelly and the Philadelphia Eagles should be thanking their lucky stars that Sam Bradford didn't sign the extension that they offered him this past offseason before the season started. They should be absolutely – because he does not work in their offense. I don't know that he works as an NFL quarterback anymore. He really – I don't know. Because he doesn't look very good.
Well, you can't pay guys who don't stay on the field. And so when you look at the guys in our lifetime who have been the transcendent quarterbacks, they are Tom Brady, Peyton Manning, Brett Favre, Aaron Rodgers, guys of that ilk. You know what they all have in common? They never miss a game. You got to blow out Tom Brady's knee to make him miss a game. That's the only games he's missed in his career, the year where he tore his ACL in game one. Peyton Manning had one of the longest streaks in the history of the league as far as starting under center. Same with Favre. Aaron Rodgers never misses a game. And that's why – so they're really good, but then you know what you have every week. He's your starter. Sam Bradford will never be that guy.
No. Nope. Never will. You're absolutely right. And now, I mean, I think you're looking at them, 4-7. The people in Philadelphia, I mean, I didn't think I would see this, but they've started a Fire Chip Kelly campaign, and it's just – it was a really bad point saying. It's a really bad football game that they played on Thursday, but it's just one – it's just the latest really bad football game that team's played. So there you go. All right.
You don't want to talk about their game, do you?
Well, I mean, here's the thing. The Cowboys lost. They were getting smashed. This Carolina might be the best team in the NFL, and it might be because they might have the best defense in the NFL. Their defense is ridiculously talented. Luke Kuechly, Thomas Davis, Josh Norman, the defensive front with Kawan Short and Starlo Tulele and all the Jared Allen now, all those guys. Charles Johnson's back from IR. Those guys are great. Their offense is adequate. And maybe even a little better than adequate. Probably an above average offense. The quarterback, listen, after the game, they beat the Cowboys 33-14, and it wasn't that close. Okay, but after that game, all anyone wanted to talk about was Cam Newton. But Cam Newton's numbers aren't that great. I mean, he certainly is a threat to run, and he's a good quarterback, and I like Cam Newton a lot. I think he's a really good football player who is good for the game. But people were talking about how Cam beat the Cowboys. Cam didn't beat the Cowboys. Luke Kuechly and his defense beat the Cowboys, but that's okay. You talk about whatever you want to talk about. You're 11-0. You can get to do it.
Well, here's the deal, dude. Offensive stats don't matter when you have two pick sixes because you had two less possessions than the other team to play offense anyway. So they started in their end zone on two of their possessions, and Cam didn't get to rack up any yards, any completions, any touchdowns. Right. To me, when you have a good defense, they do exactly what you want to do on offense. They exactly what you want to do with a good defense.
They run
the ball on first and second down. They throw to their tight end. They make the easy plays. They don't give the ball away. And then they take the ball from the other team. You realize Carolina has a 16 turnover differential? 16. They've gotten 16 more turnovers than their opponent. They've only given the ball away 12 times in 11 games. And they've collected 28 of them. 28, and that's almost three a game. Like they're more than 2.5 a game in getting turnovers out of the other team. That's absurd. Yep. And if you turn it over against them, you're going to lose because you cannot put their offense in a short field. That's what they want. I like that team a lot. I like Cam a lot. I think he's just the type of quarterback you want that can pick up the third down, you know, two or three times a game to keep your offense on the field. They don't need the receivers. They don't need the weapons on the outside. That's risk-reward. They don't want to throw the deep ball and possibly get it picked off. Just keep moving the ball forward 5 yards at a time.
The thing is now you're looking at them. They're your favorite in the NFC for sure. And now they've got themselves set up where they're not going to Green Bay in the playoffs. They're not going to Minnesota in the playoffs. Everybody's got to come to them now. So they don't have to go play in 12 degrees. Or whatever it is. You know, you might get a driving rainstorm in Carolina in the middle of January. So good luck with that. If you get the Carolina Panthers in the rain, you're done because they're just going to run all over you.
I only really think there's two teams in the NFC that would have a chance to walk into Carolina and beat them, and it's Arizona because Arizona is similar in that they have that defense, and then they do have a bit more of an explosive offense. I just don't know if that offense can explode against Carolina. And then Green Bay, because I'm a firm believer that a transcendent Hall of Fame quarterback can put together a game and beat anybody. And I think Aaron Rodgers could have one of those games where he's 25 of 30 and he just wins the game single-handedly because I've watched him do it so many times before.
Sure.
But other than that, I don't know who you even would suggest would have a chance in a game against Carolina in the playoffs right now.
Yeah, I don't know. I'm kind of off Green Bay right now, too. And it's really because they've lost 4 of 5. They've lost 4 out of 5. But we'll get to Green Bay in a second. So the other big story, obviously, in the game, Tony Romo, once again, broke his collarbone, is now done for the year. It's just super, super, super. Look, it's a season that had a lot of promise for the Cowboys, but two Tony Romo broken collarbones in one season is just telling you that this is not in the cards this year. There's just, you know, big difference. And actually, you were talking about turnover differential. The biggest difference between this team this year and last year's team is they just don't create turnovers. The defense does not get turnovers. Last year, they were plus whatever. They ended up plus a really good plus number. They got a ton of turnovers. They got them at key moments in the game. This year, they are minus 12 in turnovers.
Yeah, they're the worst in the league. They've given it up 19 times, and they've only gotten seven. So they've gotten the least turnovers out of the opposing team in the whole league. And to give you an idea of the other teams that sort of fall in line with that, it's the dregs of the league. San Francisco, Baltimore, San Diego, they're the other teams that have less than 10 turnovers for. And then you've got Seattle and Miami with 11 who are both teams that going into the season you thought were going to be really good. And it kind of goes to show how important it is to turn your opponent over, because those teams are good and they do have quality defenses, but they're not creating possessions for their offenses. And
the ball,
that's a big
exactly,
difference.
The ball's not bouncing their way. It's not sticking to their corner's hands. They're not, you know, they're not jump. They're not, for whatever reason, they're not getting on the ball when it hits the ground on a fumble. So it's just the way it goes sometimes. So that's where that is. So now Cowboys fans are in full on draft prep mode.
Sure.
Just so you know, we're drafting Joey Bosa apparently, or whoever it is that's number one. Well, actually, a lot of Cowboys fans, we got to take a quarterback. Whoa.
Slow down.
Who are you taking? First of all, know where you're picking. Here's the thing. Here's what's going to happen. And I'm telling you, the Cowboys are going to go 4-1 down the stretch, be 7-9, and get the 18th pick.
It wouldn't
surprise me. That's where it's going to go. But so everyone's just got to pencil in for a top five pick. I'll be honest with you. I've started to look at some prospects. It's the first I've done it all year. It's a little bit earlier than I normally would do it. So there are some prospects out there. If the Cowboys get a top 10 pick, they're going to get a great player. So there's that. But I wouldn't automatically assume they're going to have a top 5 or top 10 pick just because they don't look very good right now and they're 3-8. They could very well end up 6-10, 7-9. Who knows?
Win just enough to ruin the season? Is that what you're saying?
Yeah, they'll win just enough to both not make the playoffs and not get a top 10 pick.
Well,
which is what the Buffalo Bills have done for 15 years. 15 years the Buffalo Bills have done that. Look where that's gotten them. Not the playoffs.
You're right.
Yep. So anyway, we'll move on to the third game because we did start talking about Green Bay. Green Bay loses at home to Chicago. A little bit of controversy in there. But this is the first time since 1991 that the Green Bay Packers have lost to both the Detroit Lions and the Chicago Bears at Lambeau Field in the same season.
Well, that doesn't surprise me. A, they're really good at home. B, Detroit's been really bad for a bunch of years. Chicago's mediocre at best year after year after year. I'll say this. It's hard to take a lot from a game where it's played in a downpour. Mm-hmm. It's hard to take a lot out of that game because, you know, hey, all credit to Chicago. They found a way to win it. The conditions are the same for both teams. But Jay Cutler is the kind of guy that would be out there smoking a cigarette on the field. Like, he fits that nasty weather. It just seems like he's
Autogram.
The type of quarterback you want in that slop. I mean, he's just
exactly.
You know, he's not
he's a sloppy guy.
He's a guy that will find a way to make kind of the ugly play. I've always actually liked Jay Cutler. Right? He's a guy that, to me, like Tony Romo, that sort of gets a lot more flack than he should because he's a quality quarterback.
Yeah.
And he's the guy, if he's your quarterback, you can't upgrade. Who else are you going to get? You're not going to draft a better quarterback than him, and no one's going to trade you Manning, Brady, Rodgers, or Luck. So,
right. You
know, he's in that next tier of guys. He can win you games with good people around him. He's good enough.
Yeah, there you go. I agree. I think this is where I'm getting with Green Bay. They've lost 4 of 5, Mike.
Yeah.
They've lost 4 out of 5. And now they are – you know, potentially today, looking up at Minnesota again. After having clawed back even with the Minnesota last week, now they've given Minnesota the chance to get a one-game lead on them again. This division, which has been Green Bay's for years, is now really up for grabs. Minnesota really has a chance to take this division from them, and really part of that's because they've been losing games. Green Bay's been losing games at home.
Well, it's almost like the schedule makers knew what they were doing because the last game of the year in the regular season for those two teams, they play each other.
Yep.
So that'll be kind of cool. That might come right down to that game.
It would be great. And it's at Green Bay, yeah?
I think so, yeah.
Of course.
I just looked at it and kind of clicked off of it. But
let me just tell you this.
Schedule
makers will always favor Green Bay. Green Bay will always get that game at home. Just like they are.
Yeah.
It's funny. Here's the thing. They get Dallas at home this year, and obviously that's not going to be a big deal, but they play Dallas again next year, and I'm going to guarantee you it'll be at Green Bay in December. I'll tell you right now, it'll be at Green Bay in December. Dallas has to go to Green Bay, and it's going to be 4 degrees.
That's what you get for being a dirty Cowboy fan.
Well, there you go. That's what you get for apparently being a Green Bay Packers fan, who the NFL just loves the Green Bay Packers, but that's okay. Hey, it's a signature franchise. Tattletown, Week 1, 13. Doesn't count if you beat the Duluth Eskimos that season. So, okay.
So could, real okay. quick, Tom, going back to that that late game on Thursday, people seem to enjoy the idea of these games played in bad conditions. Like, it's got some glamour to it, the snow game, the rain game. I hate games like that. I want to see
teams
in – I don't
mind the snow game once in a while.
Once in a great while, but I want to see pristine conditions where, you know, the weather is not taking away from the player's ability to make great plays. I want to see players make great plays. I want to see whether it's a defensive showcase or an offensive showcase. I just don't want to see guys fighting, you know, wet ball, slippery field, all those things. It takes a lot away from it for me.
Yeah, no, I agree. I mean, here's the thing too, and that's the thing that they do too a lot. In the playoffs, you'll get that game that's, you know, 2 degrees with a ridiculous wind chill, and it's just, you know, it's not a great game. It really, unfortunately, it's just not a great game. You don't really necessarily get the best team winning that game, so.
Right. The frozen tundra of Lambeau Field.
Right,
you know?
Great. We're not gonna see. We're not really going to see who's the, you know, who's really good, who's really the better team. So,
exactly.
Try to get on. Let's see. We got to move on. So we're going to move on, and hopefully we'll get our actives inactives today. Because I'm going to be honest with you, I'm so depressed about football now. I don't even want to. I don't care. Who cares?
You can jump
What's
on the Patriots bandwagon with me.
That's not going to happen. I am a full-on Vikings Vikings fan right now. I'm rooting for the Vikings. I really not. I'm still going to root for the Cowboys. I'm still going to wear my jersey every Sunday. I'm just a sucker, unfortunately. Well, here's a question. Okay, before we go on to that, here's a question. Because I saw Eric Davis say something. I mean, is Tony Romo's career over? Is this it? I mean,
Tony Romo's career?
Is his career as an effective quarterback over? Will this be a continuing theme where he continuously, like, breaks his collarbone, has a back issue? I mean, is this the beginning of the end for Tony Romo?
I don't think so, personally. But, you know, only time will tell. The only answer to that question is, you know, week 8 of next season, is he still playing? I don't think the collarbone, to be honest, they can say whatever they want. He came back too early. He rushed himself back because it was the only chance the team makes the playoffs. You don't break the same bone in the same spot and then tell him you didn't rush yourself back. Like, you rush yourself back.
Yeah. Unfortunately, the first time you went down on it, too. I mean, it's just it is what it is.
They need to insert a steel rod into that thing, turn him into Wolverine, put some adamantium on it, and,
Be awesome. Yes. He could play another 10 years if he had adamantium. Of course, he could play forever if he was Wolverine.
True.
I'll sign up for that. So there's that. Okay. All right. I don't know. He's got 4 months to heal that thing, so we'll see. I mean, he's supposed to be ready for the off-season program, so that should be fine. All right. Just to give you a few guys ruled out this week, I'm trying to stick offense mostly. Leonard Hankerson's not going to play today. Devontae Freeman is still out with a concussion, so if you got Tevin Coleman on your fantasy team, you'll want to throw him in there, I suppose. Peyton Manning is out with a foot. Did you see the Onion article about Peyton Manning?
No.
Having to take the field with an assistance dog?
No.
he has to have a service dog from now on to go on the field. Andrew Luck's still out. Philip Dorsett doesn't matter. DeAnthony Thomas is also still out. Again, that doesn't matter. Julian Edelman out with the broken foot still. Larry Donnell's not going to play. Danny Amendola is now broken. Marshawn Lynch has an abdomen problem. So here's Danny Amendola. I picked him up just really quickly. I picked him up last week for my fantasy football team. I threw him in the lineup. He got 117 yards, won me my game, hurt himself. I dropped him. The guy, every time he gets a chance, like a real chance.
Yeah, he's been very injury prone over his career. And, of course, they had the inadvertent whistle play last week where he probably scores. And then a later play where he gets tackled on the 3-yard line. I had him too.
It was a little bit
frustrating, even though he had good yards.
Hurts his knee in a non-contact play where he's trying to get away from the ball on a punt or something.
Yeah.
Yeah. That's
No. That play happened after he got hurt. So part of the
So I thought that's where he got hurt, was on that play.
No.
But he got hurt before that and went out there and tweaked it again.
Right. Part of the good look going forward is the fact that they thought he was going to be okay to keep playing. And then on that punt return, he's waving his arms, get away, get away, get away. And then after that, he didn't play anymore.
Yeah, okay. Some guys to look at, Case Keenum's not going to play. There's just no way he's playing. I don't think so.
No, he's not. He's ruled out.
Yeah. Charkhandrick West, I don't think that's going to happen. Travis Kelce's questionable. He'll probably play. Antonio Gates is going to yell at his quarterback again. Yeah, Greg Zuerlein. If you've got Greg Zuerlein. Austin Seferian Jenkins is still a thing, and he's not playing probably. So there you go. Okay, that's fine. We're going to move on now. We're going to go to a break. When we come back, we're going to go into Fantasy Hot or Not. And hopefully if you had Tony Romo on Thanksgiving Day, he gave you -3 points most likely, and it was awful. It was horrendous. But all right, so after this, we'll be back here on the Fantasy Sports Warehouse Radio Network. Thank you for joining us on Assignment Football.
You live it, breathe it, dream about it. You poured your blood, sweat, and tears into it. And this year, victory is yours. Because you've got FantasySportsWarehouse.com as your secret weapon. Fantasy Sports Warehouse is your one-stop shop for fantasy sports products, blogs, and the latest info. Go to FantasySportsWarehouse.com to get info to help you dominate the fantasy sports season wherever you go.
Will it be the SEC, the Big 12, the Pac-12, the ACC, or the Big 10 in 2015? Which college football conference reigns supreme? Find out every Thursday night at 8 p.m. on the Fantasy Sports Warehouse Radio Network as Alan Slaughter-Zinsky brings you the Thursday College Football Blitz. Each and every Thursday night, Alan delivers you all of the news and notes from around the world of college football, all of the rankings, the Heisman Watch, the updated standings, get you ready for the upcoming weekend in college football. Again, for the best coverage in college football.
Attention sports fans. FantasySportsWarehouse.com is more than your traditional fantasy sports website. They are the one-stop shop for all things sports. And now, the time to make their mark on daily fantasy gaming has come. Sign up at DFSWarehouse.com and deposit up to $600 and receive a 100% deposit bonus. Just want to check it out. They also offer free rolls to help hone your skills. You'll find plenty of great articles, podcasts, swag, and more, no matter who you root for. Whether you're a fantasy owner or a regular sports fan, it's the one-stop shop that's got you covered. Go to FantasySportsWarehouse.com or DFSWarehouse.com to find out why they are the first and only place you'll ever need to go to get your sports coverage and fantasy gaming fix.
Fan Up Network. Track your fantasy team, get player updates, and expert advice all in one place. Gain the edge. FanUpNetwork.com.
Hey, football fans. Looking for an alternative to your boring NFL pregame show? Try the NFL Standard right here on the Fantasy Sports Warehouse Radio Network. Every Sunday morning at 10 a.m., Alan Slaughter-Zinsky, Brian Yates, and John Ames deliver the best in fantasy news, notes, and information from around the world of the National Football League. The guys will get you set for all of the big games in the day with their game previews, as well as injury updates and all of the news and notes from around the world of the National Football League. Once again, if you're looking for the best in NFL game day coverage, right here on the Fantasy Sports Warehouse Radio Network, every Sunday morning at 10 a.m., with Alan, John, and Brian on the NFL Standard.
Recognize that one. That is a band called The Darkness with I Believe in a Thing Called Love, a British hair metal band from the 90s, like late 90s or early 2000s even. I can't remember actually exact time frame on those guys. Real quick, glam metal revival there, and it was gone before you knew it even started. So, but good tune there. I Believe in a Thing Called Love. And then I'm not going to do the falsetto part. Anyway, so we're moving on. It's fantasy crunch time. Week 12. So you've got this week, next week, and then playoffs begin if you're running a three-week playoff system where you've got more than four teams, or this week, next week, and week 14, and then your playoffs are week 15 and 16. Some of you would do week 16 and 17. If you're in that league that does playoffs on week 16 and 17, get out of it.
Yeah, that's awful.
Don't play in that league next year, because you're going to see it. Week 17, your quarterback who's led you to the playoffs and has got you into the championship game, Tom Brady or whoever, they're going to play a quarter, and then they're going to be done.
Yeah, it stinks.
It does stink. I'm telling you.
There should be no fantasy football week 17. It's awful.
Correct. So there you are. There's where it's at. But if you're in that, if you're in week 17 and you're worried about who's playing, that's a good predicament to be in, because that means you're in the championship game.
That's it. Well, I got to make a quick observation about how great the NFL is. I'm just looking at the standings. 16 teams in each conference, and there are four teams in each conference that are like not going to make the playoffs right now. So you have, if you're a fan of three quarters of the league, you can still delude yourself into thinking your team has an opportunity to make the playoffs.
My team has no chance to make the playoffs.
Yeah, anybody's 4-6 or better, they can make the playoffs right now. There's half the league's 5-5.
Absolutely. There's not that many teams with winning records.
Right.
I think you got like eight teams, eight of the
Carolina
teams.
And New England are hogging up all the wins.
They really are. Here's the thing, and I had this conversation at work this week. You can look at it that way, yes. Oh, the NFL's so great. But there's a lot of really mediocre football teams this year. Really mediocre. Like, not it's like they're really good and they're just fighting it out. And all. There's a lot of teams that are just half-assed football teams, not very good. I'm going to name about 10 of them off the top of my head, and I'm not going to include the Cowboys and the frickin' Chargers and the teams that just really stink. I'm going to talk about Buffalo, mediocre. Philadelphia, more than mediocre. They're probably in that other group.
The New York
Giants are division leader.
I counted Philadelphia among the out teams
because they have seven losses already.
Right. Yeah.
The New York Giants are 5-5 division winner. They're mediocre.
They do the best job of this of all the major sports of creating parity through the way the draft process works and the way the scheduling works. The scheduling in the NFL is awesome. 8-14 divisions and the way they match up, it's awesome the way it works out. So you're going to have the better teams playing against the better opponents every year or who was better last year. It's very smartly done.
Well, sure. I mean, look, it's been said by a lot smarter people that it's an 8-8 league.
Yeah.
This league is designed for everyone to go 8-8. And here's the reason why it works for them, the reason why the parity works for them, the reason why every team has a real chance to improve their team is the salary cap. And the fact that they do it correctly, it is a hard cap. There is no, well, if it's your own player, like the NBA does. The NBA half-asses the salary cap, and then you still have all the teams that have the money can still keep all their players. And
pay the luxury tax.
Right, pay the luxury tax, have the Larry Bird exemption. You know, if you want to keep your best player, you can, and you don't have. He doesn't really have to count that much against your salary cap, even though you're giving him $35 million a year, and then he's all of a sudden he's been in the league for 19 years, and his knees are going, and he's Kobe Bryant.
You're paying him $300,000 a game to suck.
Right. And I'm not a Lakers fan. I'm not going to go into this, but I had a conversation with somebody at work, and I said, you know, they're talking about Kobe, and they said, well, he won't be with the Lakers next year. Well, what if he still wants to play? I said, that's great. If he wants to play, Mitch Kupchak's going to look at him and go, that's awesome. Where are you playing? Because it's not here. So anyways, we'll get off the NBA thing right now. We're not going to start doing an NBA show. Although, you want to start doing an NBA show instead?
I like the NBA.
I'm done with football. All right. So anyway, here we are. We're going to do the fantasy hot or not segment. Mike is going to win this because I suck at it because I don't. I'm going to be honest with you. I'm so depressed. But I'm still alive in basically all my fantasy because I got one that I'm not alive in, but I already paid that one, so who cares? All right, so Mike, who do you got today? Who's your fantasy? Who do you love in fantasy today?
Sure, there's a handful of guys I think, especially at the quarterback position that might not be on rosters that you can grab, and they're going to score a bunch of points today. In fact, I think the kind of marginal guys might be the best fantasy quarterback this week. So Kirk Cousins gets the Giants. The Giants are the worst pass defense in the league. Last game against the Giants at the Giants, he had 316 in the touchdown. Now he gets them at home in a game that means a lot to Washington, because if they win this game, they're tied in the record. And so he's got an opportunity today. If he plays well, it means big things for Washington and their fans. So I like him. Jameis Winston, who going into the season, I did not think Jameis Winston was ever going to be an NFL quarterback, because to me, there's been a lot of guys historically that have the physical tools, quote unquote, and they're morons. And that is what stops them from being ever an effective NFL player. And because of kind of you don't know about a guy, you can only hear what you hear on the media, but the sort of lack of character that he displayed in college, you know, through the stuff you hear through the media, and hey, maybe behind closed doors, he's a great guy. So I don't really want to like bash the dude, but it just led me to believe that he was not going to come in and be able to run a team. But the evidence of my eyes tells me that he is actually able to run a team, and he looks really good lately. And he gets Indy. Indy's really bad against the pass. And this game means more to Tampa Bay than it does to Indy.
Yeah. So, I think Jameis Winston is a quality start going forward, and he could really help you win your fantasy league. The kid's been really good. And I'll tell you this, you know, a lot of us were knuckleheads in college. Just most of us weren't written about in the local newspaper or the national newspaper or spoken about on ESPN. So it's possible that he just did a couple knucklehead things. I mean,
yeah.
I don't know. No one was there. But I'll tell you this much. Watching him play, he, A, knows how to run an offense. B, he does not turn the ball over. And not only is he able to command an offense, but he leads his teammates, and they want to play for him. He is a legitimate leader for this team as a rookie. And, again, he doesn't throw the ball to the other team, which is great, but he's not a game manager because, in fact, he can throw the ball down the field to these receivers, Evans and Jackson. I'm telling you, Tampa Bay's dangerous. I mean, they're obviously not going to win the division. Carolina's 11-0. But Tampa Bay's dangerous. I would not want to see them in my wild card game. If I was hosting the wild card game, I'm a team that wins the wild card, and I'd say, okay, who am I playing? Oh, Tampa. Yeah, because their defense is okay. It's definitely adequate defense. They play good enough, and at times they play really, really good. And Jameis Winston could come in and beat you. So if you've got Jameis Winston on your roster, he's available in your league, absolutely a great pickup. I actually had a person at work talking to me about fantasy and saying, hey, I've got Winston and Cousins, who should I play? And I'm like, wow, that's a really good question.
Can you play them both?
To your point. Yeah.
Yeah.
Can you play them both? Can you play two quarterbacks? Just play them both. But I said Cousins this week. I said, going forward, probably Winston, but Cousins this week, because New York's pass defense is atrocious. It is really, really bad. And he has good receivers. I think Pierre Garçon and DeSean Jackson are both good plays this week, as well as the tight end Jordan Reed. I think they're going to have a really huge week in fantasy all over the offense, especially in the passing game. If you've got a wide receiver, tight end, or if you have Kirk Cousins, anyone from Washington is a good play this week.
So two other guys that I would start ahead of Tom Brady this week are Blake Bortles against San Diego. San Diego has the worst, the second worst points against in the league behind only New Orleans. So San Diego just gives up points in droves. And Jacksonville obviously has the tools on the outside to take advantage of that. And I think Bortles is due a good game. I like him a lot as a young quarterback. We've talked about it in the past. And the other guy who gets the atrocious defense is Hoyer for Houston. It's not that I believe in Hoyer. It's that I think Oakland's defense is awful. So more so a matchup play than I really think Hoyer's a serviceable quarterback play.
Who are the Texans playing this week?
I think it's Oakland. Did I mess up?
Oh, okay. I think so.
And so, again, as a New England fan, I start all those guys in fantasy over Brady. Because A, Brady gets Denver, and B, Brady doesn't have anybody to throw to this week. So.
Right. I think it's not Oakland. Oakland's at Tennessee this week. It is they're a home for New Orleans, which just makes him an even better play, Mike. Just makes him an even better play.
Okay. Yeah. My fault. I wrote down the wrong awful defense.
Right. So it's the even more awful New Orleans Saints defense.
Yes. So Mariota might be serviceable too for what that's worth.
Yeah, I feel bad for Marcus Mariota just because he has nobody to help him out. It's him and Delanie Walker against the world in Tennessee.
Yep.
But, I think he could have a good game. I totally love your Hoyer pick, and I think obviously you want to couple that up with DeAndre Hopkins as well. He's obviously going to have a huge, huge day, but good luck getting him. I have him in two leagues because I was able to draft him in like the ninth round in the Honda City League.
It hurts. I spent my first two picks on receivers worse than him. So,
right. I stepped to the mic and I was like, I'll take DeAndre Hopkins. And I was like, oh! I don't know how he lasted. But anyway, it was a great day. Not so much anymore, but it was great then. Okay, so that's good. I like that. Also, who's the tight end down there in Houston? Because he's going to have a good day, too. Figure that out for yourselves. I'm not going to look that up. Let's see. What else you got, Mike? You got anything else good?
So running back. We've got some – running back is the position, as you know, as any fantasy player knows, it's impossible to pick up good running backs pretty much. But you've got some guys with some upside. Really, the first one probably should have been picked up in your free agent waiver wire this week. But if he wasn't, Javorius Allen of Baltimore, they don't have anybody else to run the ball, and they get Cleveland. So they don't have Flacco. They're going to have to lean on their running game. And they get Cleveland's atrocious rush defense that's been historically bad two seasons running now. So Cleveland's essentially the defense where it's like, start your running backs against us. And Javorius Allen's the only guy left alive in Baltimore's backfield at this point.
And so he has some talent, too. He's a pretty talented young runner. So.
Well, yeah. I know Talaferro's been banged up. I'm not sure if he's playing or not, but he's been banged up. And then, of course, Forsett broke his arm. So that was – if somehow he slipped through the cracks in your league, he's a great play. In the Jets backfield, you've got Chris Ivory, who's certainly going to be owned in every league. You also, I talked about him last week, you got Belial Powell. It turns out Belial Powell got more touches last week than Chris Ivory, played more snaps, and got all the red zone carries.
Sure did.
I think Ivory's better running back personally, but, you know, again, the evidence of my eyes is that Belial Powell got the opportunities last week. He's available. And they get Miami, who's got the third worst rush defense in the league. In fact, they're almost as bad as Cleveland as far as
yards. If you're desperate, you've got to find a running back, and you need someone to play today, and you're like fighting for the playoffs. This guy could be good because, especially like you're saying, around the goal line, it looks like he's the guy that they prefer to get the touches. Now, he hasn't gotten into the end zone a lot, but maybe today's the day because, again, like you said, Miami's defense, which is not really that good against the run. So there's that. Yeah. Also, the kid from Kansas City, Ware, he could be a good pickup for you if he slipped through the cracks on your wire as well, because it looks like he's going to get a lot of play. I don't know if Tarkandrick West is going to play. I mean, they're now down to their third and fourth running backs. Niall Davis.
You know, that shouldn't scare you, though, honestly.
It's the
position in the league, other than a couple of guys like the Petersons of the world and the Gurleys of the world, that you can plug and play a running back. You really can. Yep. And they're all talented.
What about your blockers?
We all grew up wanting to run the ball. Like, everybody who played football wanted to get the ball 30 times a game. You know, the guys who ended up as linebackers all wanted to be running backs growing up, probably.
So there's
a lot of talent depth at running back, and that's why it's a waste to draft them high generally and all that kind of thing.
Except for fantasy football, where you should draft 15 running backs.
Always draft
them.
I mean, the real draft.
Right.
But another guy who is going to have opportunity today is Alfred Blue of Houston. Again, gets New Orleans. They can be run on, they can be thrown on, they can be scored on. And that's another situation where there's no Foster. Somebody's got to get the ball. Blue's the guy with the pedigree. He's had a bunch of carries a few weeks in a row, so he's going to have opportunities. And opportunities against New Orleans should equal fantasy points. So and he's relatively available out there too. So I like those as kind of running backs where you might actually be able to pick this guy up, which this time of year is pretty difficult to accomplish. And if Thomas Rawls didn't get picked up in your league somehow, your league is dumb, but you probably pick him up like right now, like stop listening to the show and pick him up because he should be owned.
If you're in a league where no one put in a waiver claim or picked up Thomas Rawls probably a month ago, you're in a league with a bunch of guys who don't know anything about football. And if you're not in first place, you should be ashamed of yourself.
But he is not 100% owned. So there is
crazy to me. How is that crazy? You know why it's not 100% owned? Because there's leagues like the Honda City League, where you're only allowed to make one goddamn move a week.
Yeah. That's awful.
So I'm sure if that's the case, then I'm sure out there are fantasy leagues where you draft your team and it's locked and you don't get to make any changes.
Oh, that would be awful. What's the point?
Wouldn't that be the worst thing ever? Oh, great. Half my team's on IR.
Yeah, but everybody would be draft guys that aren't hurt. The team that wins would be the team that drafts dudes that don't get hurt. That'd be terrible. Anyway.
Right.
Receivers. So a guy who's, again, somebody you could target as an ownable guy is Stevie Johnson. somebody's got to get the targets. They do nothing but throw the ball in San Diego.
All over the place.
And he doesn't have big numbers. If you look at his numbers, they've not been big. But the last 2 weeks in a row, he's had 7 catches. He's had 8 and 10 targets, so he's catching the majority of his targets. There's a chance of work. There's a chance eventually you break one. And the guys with volume of work are the guys that I want to make a play on, as opposed to a guy, like, to give an example, Travis Benjamin for Cleveland is a guy that, yeah, he's capable of catching that 50-yarder, but if he doesn't, he doesn't do anything.
If he doesn't catch an 80-yard touchdown, he's getting no points.
Right. So yeah. Stevie Johnson's guy, look, if I want to plug a guy who I know is going to have 7 or 8 points today, and I need points out of that position, he's a good option. As are the 3 receivers for Washington. So,
yes.
Again, their numbers on the season are all mediocre, but you have some number of DeSean Jackson, Pierre Garçon, and Jameson Crowder are going to be available in your league, and they're pretty much plug and play, the 3 of them. There's not a star where this is the guy that gets the targets. They're pretty well distributed between the 3 of them. So if you need to take a chance, hey, there's always a chance one of those 3 goes off, and New York's pass defense is the worst in the league. So this is the day.
To me, of those 3 guys, Pierre Garçon's the safest bet just because he's going to get more targets than the other guys. DeSean Jackson, if you're looking for the home run threat, that's your guy because he is the one most likely to bust off a 50-yard touchdown.
Sure.
Crowder's probably the 3rd on that list. Again, it depends on what you're looking for. Jackson, Garçon, I think either one of them is going to have a really big day. I'm not as big on Crowder, I think, but if you're desperate and you're looking for somebody, he's a good play just because the Giants' defense is really bad against the pass. They're not good against the pass. Someone said, oh, I really like the Giants this year. I'm like, you really like what they've been doing? Oh, you really like that they blow fourth quarter leads? Is that what you like about them? Because that's not good. That's not a recipe for success. So look for the Giants to be up late and DeSean Jackson to bust off a 65-yard touchdown to win the game in the last minute.
So a 5,000-yard season for a quarterback is spectacular. There's only been a few of them in the history of the league. And the Giants are almost on pace to give up 5,000 passing yards this year. So that means they've made every quarterback a Hall of Famer, essentially, all season.
Absolutely. Everyone's had a great year against the Giants.
Yeah.
If you put all the quarterbacks, you take every week and it's just one quarterback, you put all the stats and it's just one quarterback, that guy's the MVP.
Yeah, he's really, really good.
He's really good. I mean, he's really good. I mean, look at it this way. The Cowboys almost beat him without Tony Romo.
And they've had at the beginning of the year, they were just snake bit giving up fourth quarter leads.
They've done it 4 or 5 times already this year. And it wasn't just the beginning of the year. They did it against New England. They've done it since then.
Oh, that's
too.
Right.
They are a fraudulent team.
So a couple
but anyways, that's it. Go ahead.
A couple of tight ends. First of all, this dude really should have been owned weeks ago, but Cleveland's tight end, Barnridge. Barnkowski, if you will. Mm-hmm.
Yeah,
he was bad with Manziel. I don't know if Manziel doesn't look for the quarterback. Manziel doesn't have the relationship look for the tight end, I should say, or he just doesn't have that relationship where he knows where he's going to be on the field. But McCown's playing now, and he has it with McCown. He's been really, really good in the games where McCown has played. In fact, he's the 2nd best tight end in fantasy behind Gronkowski.
Yep.
But he's not a name. So even unless you play fantasy football, you've never heard of the guy. And so there's the guy where there's a chance that he isn't owned in your league, or you own him in another tight end and you're trying to figure out who to start. You should start him. And Delanie Walker, you mentioned earlier, he is really good, and he's Mariota's only target, and they get Oakland, who's the worst tight end defense in the league. So
another guy that I've touted – as a tight end, Clive Walford, again, on the other side. And again, Tennessee's defense is not very good. Walford is a guy that Carr looks for around the end zone, in the red zone.
Yeah.
So there you go. Okay.
Yeah, sometimes you're a tight end, you're just looking for a guy that has a chance to score a touchdown.
Yeah, and that's true. I mean, you get a touchdown on the tight end, he's having a good day already. So
I got to make one more point now before we go.
Very quick.
Kansas City's defense, pick them up right now. If they're not owned in your league, their playoff matchups are spectacular.
Yeah, they're a really good defense with a lot of really bad offenses coming up on their schedule. So
check it out.
So we got
Baltimore and Cleveland are their playoff matchups, and if your playoffs start in week 14, you get San Diego too.
That is correct. Okay, so we got to go. We're going to take a break. When we come back, we're going to do some bold predictions for the rest of the season, and then we're going to take another break. But then after we come back, we'll have Brian Yates. So right here on the Fantasy Sports Warehouse Radio Network.
Fan Up Network. Track your fantasy team, get player updates, and expert advice all in one place. Gain the edge. FanUpNetwork.com.
Hey, NFL fans. Be sure to join Alan Slaughterzinski, Brian Yates, and John Ames every Sunday at 10 a.m. right here on the Fantasy Sports Warehouse Radio Network for the NFL Standard. Every Sunday morning at 10 Eastern, Alan, John, and Brian will bring you up-to-the-minute fantasy football news and notes, injury reports, as well as all of the news from around the National Football League. Again, every Sunday morning at 10 right here on the Fantasy Sports Warehouse Radio Network, it's the NFL Standard. I can't miss for every NFL fan.
Attention sports fans. FantasySportsWarehouse.com is more than your traditional fantasy sports website. They are the one-stop shop for all things sports. And now, the time to make their mark on daily fantasy gaming has come. Sign up at DFSWarehouse.com and deposit up to $600 and receive a 100% deposit bonus. Just want to check it out. They also offer free rolls to help hone your skills. You'll find plenty of great articles, podcasts, swag, and more, no matter who you root for. Whether you're a fantasy owner or a regular sports fan, it's the one-stop shop that's got you covered. Go to FantasySportsWarehouse.com or DFSWarehouse.com to find out why they are the first and only place you'll ever need to go to get your sports coverage and fantasy gaming fix.
You live it, breathe it, dream about it. You poured your blood, sweat, and tears into it. And this year, victory is yours. Because you've got FantasySportsWarehouse.com as your secret weapon. Fantasy Sports Warehouse is your one-stop shop for fantasy sports products, blogs, and the latest info. Go to FantasySportsWarehouse.com to get info to help you dominate the fantasy sports season wherever you go.
If you recognize that song, you are as much as a Christmas geek as I am. I'm a huge Christmas geek, by the way. That is The Waitresses, early 80s new wave band with their Christmas hit, Christmas Wrapping. Remember, do you know that song, Mike?
I don't. You got me.
Okay, you should look it up. It's really cool. It's kind of funky. She raps about her, you know, her love and hate relationship with Christmas. It's great. Yeah. Good stuff. I'm gonna feature a Christmas song every week until Christmas gets here. I'm gonna throw a Hanukkah song in there. I don't know if you'll know which one I'm gonna play. My Hanukkah song.
Yeah. I only know one Hanukkah song. I'm gonna assume it's the same one you know.
That's the one. But we are gonna throw a Hanukkah song in at some point too. So look forward to that. All right. So here we are. We're gonna do some bold predictions for the rest of the season. It's gonna be a quick segment, probably 6-7 minutes, and we'll get on with Brian Yates. To talk about our featured game of the week, New England Patriots at Denver Broncos. Big, big game for playoff position. So here we go. Mike, give me one bold prediction for the rest of the year, the last 5 to 6 games of the season, depending on if your team played on Thanksgiving or not.
Okay. The best one I've got that I'm the most confident in and I've done the most research is Jacksonville wins the AFC South.
Wow. I don't hate that at all. I think – because I don't like Indy's schedule coming up, and I love Jacksonville as a young, hungry team. I think that's a really, really awesome, bold prediction.
Check out Jacksonville's schedule. Today they get the Chargers at home. Then they're at the Titans. Then the Colts at home, which is key to the whole thing. Because if they win that, you know, that gives them the leg up.
Yeah.
Falcons at home, at the Saints, at the Texans. There's not actually a hard game in there.
Are they four? They're 4-6, right? So if they win
their
next three,
and they don't have to play a team other than the Falcons, the winning record, and the Falcons are 1-4 in their last 5 games. So to call them a team with a winning record is a bit of a stretch.
Right. They did their damage early for sure. My bold prediction is in the NFC East, and my bold prediction is that Washington will win this division, not the New York Giants, who starts today.
I teetered as that actually being my pick, honestly.
Yeah. Well, it's not as bold. I'll tell you that. It's not as bold as Jacksonville. But I'm going to take Washington. I think of all four teams in that division, Washington probably has the least total talent. Okay? They've got some talented players. I'm not going to say that they don't have talent, but the least total talent. But the things have come together for Washington this year in such a way that they're going to win this division, because I think they are better defensively than either Philadelphia and New York.
Yep.
Slightly. And I think that offensively with Kirk Cousins, they do the things that Jay Gruden wants to do. And I think that they have a favorable schedule, and I think that they are going to end up winning this division by a game. If they're going into the last week 17, and they got to win to get in, if they win there, it's just if Washington wins, they're the division champion. They play at Dallas.
Really?
Yeah, it's at Dallas.
That should be tough.
I don't think so. I think Washington beats Dallas twice going down the stretch, to be honest with you. But, okay, so there's that. Give me another one.
Well, I kind of blew my efforts on the Jacksonville pick because I trust that one pretty my faith is in that one more than anything else that I could call.
Yeah.
I'll say this. We've made a bunch of predictions this year, and what I've learned is injuries in the NFL are king, because we've made prediction after prediction that injuries have gone and screwed up on us that look good at the time and even look good going forward till guys got hurt. So it's been tough to have any kind of consistency with the picks. The only one I actually wrote down was Jacksonville, and I don't have anything spectacular for you that I, you know, off the top of my head that I like, that I really feel strongly about.
Oh, I've got Tampa making the playoffs. That's a bold projection.
Okay.
I mean, they're 5-5. I've got them making the playoffs. I got them as one of your wild card teams. Minnesota's going to win the division.
I agree with both of those.
That's not that bold. It's hard to get bold at this point because you really things are kind of really laying out for you in front of you.
Well, the other one that I was going to call out, I just didn't know if it sort of qualified as being a bold prediction, was I don't think either New England or Carolina makes it to the end of the season without losing the game. I'll put it this way. I don't think they make it to week 17 without losing the game, because there's a chance in week 17 they just rest their starters and it doesn't matter anyway. But I don't think either of them gets to 15-0.
I think here's the thing. Here's my bold. Not even a bold prediction, just a bold statement. I think of the two, the team with the better chance of going undefeated is Carolina.
They
have a better shot.
Yeah, they're at the Saints. They get the Falcons twice, at the Giants, home against the Bucks to end the season.
Yeah.
I mean, there's no one that should beat them. But the Falcons twice is troubling a little, I think.
A little bit, but I don't know. What I'm looking at is watching their defense play, not just against the Cowboys, but all season long. It just seems to me that they have a better shot. I'm not saying that they will, but they have a better shot because of that schedule that you just played out there. That's five pretty mediocre to bad football teams.
Yep. Like
New York and Atlanta are very mediocre. You know, Tampa Bay might be the best team on their schedule.
But it's the one where it's the last week. It may not matter.
Right.
You know, you're playing for pride at that point, and they get them at home.
Well, I'll tell you this. If the Carolina Panthers, being a young franchise and all that stuff, if they're 15-0 going into that game, they're not resting guys until they know the outcome is secure. So if they go into that game and they're smashing the Bucks early, they'll pull the guys. If they go into that game and, you know, it's just, you know, it's a really tough game and you don't want to get anybody, you know, they come out, it's really physical, you pull everybody. I think they play. I think they play for the undefeated season. I think Riverboat Ron wants to do that kind of thing. So there's that. I think that they have a better shot of going undefeated than the New England Patriots do. Not that they're a better team, but that they have a better shot of going undefeated.
I think they might be a better team. I think it's New possible. England's so hurt right now that.
Yeah. There you go. Injuries again. Yeah. Deion Lewis, gone. Julian Edelman. Listen, if he comes back, it's a miracle. You know, I mean, he's not coming back in the regular season. If he comes back, it's going to be AFC Championship game, maybe the week before that. Danny Amendola, he's week to week, not day to day, week to week. So you don't know how that's going. He's got two. They've got tons of injuries to, and not just it's to their top level offensive weapons.
Yeah.
Like now you're down to Gronk and who?
You're throwing to practice squad guys. Your
Chris
second
Harper.
Running back's a practice squad guy.
Yeah.
It's a rough position to be in right now. But they find ways, and they do still have the quarterback and the coach. But this really tests
and the
my
defense.
And the defense is very, very good.
Okay.
But my sort of statement to friends and family anytime you talk about NFL is receivers don't really matter. That the quarterback
not
makes mediocre receivers look good. There comes a point where you strain that statement, though, and I think they may be there. You know, you got to get.
Yeah, no, you're absolutely right. At some point, you've got to have the guys and they got to play. But we're gonna take our break because when we come back, we're gonna have Brian Yates. He should be finishing up on his show, the NFL Standard. So we got to get going so we don't hold Brian up too much because he's already been on the air for a couple hours this morning. So we're gonna take our break. When we come back, Brian Yates should be with us and we'll talk New England and Denver some more. So we'll get a lot of more talk about the Patriots right after the break. Okay, Mikey.
Awesome.
All right. We're on Assignment Football on Fantasy Sports Warehouse Radio Network. We'll be back after this.
Do you play fantasy sports? Of course you do. But are you really getting the best out of your fantasy sports experience? Don't worry. We have the answer for you. MyFantasyCommish.com is the first ever third-party fantasy sports commissioner service, including a free social platform similar to Facebook and Twitter. MFC creates and manages your league, including live or online drafts, scoring options, and league rules, using your website of choice. Tired of having to deal with the stress of setting up and running your fantasy sports league? One more time to enjoy managing your team instead of answering question upon question from other team owners? Our team of fantasy experts will help you customize your league to make sure that it is better than ever. Done are the days of fantasy commissioners who make rules without league approval. Many fantasy sports commissioners run around like a chicken with their head cut off trying to collect league fees from other players. MFC provides a finance package that makes the collection of league fees as simple as possible. Once the year is over, we confirm the winners of the league, and voila! The payment is immediately delivered to your PayPal account. Want to play in a hockey or basketball league but your buddies aren't interested? Left out of your boyfriend's fantasy league? Good thing you don't need them, because now you have MFC. MFC provides a social community for users to connect, communicate, and compete with players from all over the world. Don't listen to people brag or complain about their fantasy teams. Draft your own and be part of the action. My Fantasy Commish is completely free to sign up and only $14 per team for the league management service. Hey, you're not Superman. Let MFC run your fantasy league and get back to enjoying fantasy sports like they were meant to be.
Will it be the SEC, the Big 12, the Pac-12, the ACC, or the Big 10 in 2015? Which college football conference reigns supreme? Find out every Thursday night at 8 p.m. on the Fantasy Sports Warehouse Radio Network as Alan Slaughter-Zinsky brings you the Thursday College Football Blitz. Each and every Thursday night, Alan delivers you all of the news and notes from around the world of college football, all of the rankings, the Heisman Watch, the updated standings. Get you ready for the upcoming weekend in college football. Again, for the best coverage in college football this season, join Alan every Thursday night at 8 p.m. right here on the Fantasy Sports Warehouse Radio Network for the Thursday College Football Blitz.
You live it, breathe it, dream about it. You poured your blood, sweat, and tears into it. And this year, victory is yours. Because you've got FantasySportsWarehouse.com as your secret weapon. Fantasy Sports Warehouse is your one-stop shop for fantasy sports products, blogs, and the latest info. Go to FantasySportsWarehouse.com to get info to help you dominate the fantasy sports season wherever you go.
Fan Up Network. Track your fantasy team, get player updates, and expert advice all in one place. Gain the edge. FanUpNetwork.com.
Keep on learning.
on Assignment Football here on this fabulous Sunday morning. I, of course, am broadcasting to you live from the world's most active volcano, Kilauea, here on the Big Island of Hawaii. Mike is in a... Actually, it's not really snowy in Syracuse yet, is it?
No, we had about an inch of snow, but it's sunny and beautiful today. Hardly a cloud in the sky, so
awesome.
Hard to complain about this.
A beautiful late November day. The Syracuse University basketball team is undefeated in the month of November. 6-0 now. Sure to be ranked in the next rankings that come out tomorrow. Brian H. is going to join us in a little bit here. We're expecting him anyway. Hopefully he'll be on before you know it. If not, we have certainly enough knowledge to talk about Denver and the Broncos.
About the Patriots too, but if you want to focus on Denver and the Broncos,
we're going
to
do Denver because it's my show now. I'm taking it over. You're done. No, I'm just kidding. So here's the thing. So now you got Denver hosting New England, and it's, you know, all year when this schedule came out, everyone's pointing to this thing and saying, oh, it's Manning versus Brady. Woo, maybe the last time. Well, guess what, folks? You may have already seen the last one because obviously Peyton Manning will not be playing today because it is plantar fasciitis. Or because he's ineffective and they just don't want to throw him out there anymore, whichever you decide is true. Mike, what's your take on that?
B.
You like
Option
B? I think
B.
So, too. Zombie, yeah. Peyton Manning has been kind of put – he's been put in Herschel's barn, as it were.
Yeah. I like the reference.
Lori's pregnant and there's zombies in the barn.
I think it's unfortunate because you hate to see the greats break down in front of you. You mentioned Kobe Bryant earlier. Kobe's a liability. I think Peyton Manning's a liability. I think Brock Osweiler, I think he's the better quarterback to run that offense right now, and that's a shame.
I'll tell you this. I don't think that this kid's not a viable starter. I mean, we've only seen him one game, so you want to see him a little bit more. He's certainly got the size to play the position. 6'7",
yep.
He's the biggest quarterback in the league. So he's not, you know, I mean, it's going to be tough to get a hand up and knock his passes down. It's not Drew Brees having to stand on his tiptoes to look over his offensive lineman. He can see the field. He's got a big arm. I remember watching him at Arizona State. He was a good quarterback in the Pac-12. Definitely when he came out, people said he's a project. Well, he's had a decent I'll tell you this. People say, oh, well, he's learned behind Peyton Manning. If you think Peyton Manning has taught Brock Osweiler, actively taught Brock Osweiler one thing, you're absolutely out of your mind. Because he has no interest in developing Brock Osweiler. He does not want Brock Osweiler taking that job. He's probably very upset. He didn't even make the trip last week, okay? Not to say that that was his decision, but he didn't even go to the road game last week. It's just like the thing with Brett Favre and Aaron Rodgers. He's like, well, he didn't – they were mad at him because he didn't teach Aaron Rodgers. Why would he teach someone to take his job?
Right.
Why would
the onus is on the backup to absorb as much as they can from the great man in front of them and to learn by watching and you know, put the effort forth to not only learn what they're doing, but then try to practice hard, even though you're not getting the opportunities and put the time in to put some of that stuff into action.
And
with Peyton Manning,
it's a good guy to absorb from.
Well, you can learn so much from Peyton Manning because he's almost an offensive coordinator out there just from watching him. And we talked about this off the air. He's probably the better quarterback to run the offense Gary Kubiak wants to run. Peyton Manning's Peyton Manning's offense is Peyton Manning's offense. Gary Kubiak wants the quarterback under center. You know, you jokingly said Peyton Manning can't be under center because he can't bend his back anymore, but he's not mobile enough where he's getting that advantage of being able to see the field if he's under center. You want Manning back where he can survey. Whereas Brock Osweiler, he's young and one would assume fairly athletic and able to run that offense in the way it's intended to be run from under the center.
Well, he's certainly more athletic than Peyton Manning. But here's today, Brock Osweiler in his second start, he gets one of the top five defenses in the NFL. He's at home, a home dog. I believe New England's favored by, but not by a ton, but they're favored. So
5.5 actually.
Oh, that's huge, actually. I didn't think it was that much. Okay, so that's actually a huge number. So not a lot of expectation that he's going to go out there and win this game. So as long as he doesn't look horrible, it's okay for him. But what do you see? I mean, what do you see from the New England defense? I mean, do you think they – I mean, obviously, I don't know. I mean, that's a horrible question. Do you think New England's got what it takes to shut down Brock Osweiler? Of course you do. I mean, I don't expect a lot from him in this game, in the fact that I don't think he's going to be the reason they win or lose this game.
Well, the New England defense is kind of enigmatic this year because they're the best scoring defense in the league. So they give up the least points. But none of their other measurables are really all that good except for their rush defense. As far as total yards, they're like middle of the pack. They're 21st in the league against the pass. Their turnover ratio is good, but that's only because they don't turn the ball over. They've only gotten something like 16 takeaways, I think is the number. And so they're not like Carolina, where they're just ripping the ball from you all game. So they're not giving, you know, two or three turnovers a game to their offense. They have a positive margin because they've only turned it over 8 times. It's 14-8. They've gotten 14 in 10 games, so not great. But they've only given it up 8 times. So they've gotten 6 more possessions than their opponents, essentially.
Okay.
What New England seems to do, and what they've always seemed to do, so if they win the coin toss, they defer. And they get the ball in the second half. And somehow they always find a way to make something out of a last possession. Whether it's they get the ball with 5 minutes left and blow the whole clock and get the last possession, or they get the ball left with 52 seconds and march it down the field and score. They always find a way to get that last possession of the first half and then the first possession of the second half. And that's usually the turning point in New England games.
Yeah. If they can come away, because what will normally happen with them is, like you're saying, they get that last possession. If it's a short, they don't have a lot of clock to work with, they'll run it down. They'll get a field goal, get 3 points, come back, get the opening kick, put together a really nice drive, hold the ball for 6 minutes, score a touchdown. And a game that at the half was, I don't know, before they got their second possession, their possession right before the end of half was 14-7. Is now they've added 10 points. Now it's 24-7.
Yep.
Now you're down 17. So that's what New England historically does. It's what they do this year, and so that's where it's at. So, A, Mike's first key to victory for the Denver Broncos is win the coin toss and defer.
Yeah, really. It's funny the number of teams that'll win the coin toss against New England and take the ball. And it's like,
it's ridiculous.
You're just playing
into
their hands. You just gave them what they wanted. Don't do that.
Because you know if they win, they're going to defer. So why would you give them what they want anyway? Take it away from them. No, we're taking the ball in the second half. You take it first.
So we talked about this in previous weeks, but so there's a lot of talk about the injuries on New England and how much that's going to limit them. New England wins in the little things in the game, and they win with special teams, and they win with field position, and they win with never missing 50-yard field goals. And
our caller is on the line. Hold on just one moment. It should be Brian Gates, okay? Brian, is that you? Are you on with us? Hello, caller, you're on the air. Caller is now gone. The call is
that was,
okay,
that
go
was
ahead.
A great call.
Thanks for the call. We appreciate that. All of them are great points. Go ahead, Mike.
So what they've done, if you even look back, they've been a good team for a long time. They really started in 2001 when they beat the Rams in the Super Bowl, and that game no one expected them to win. But they won it again. Small ways, defense, special teams, managed the game. They've had a couple seasons where, you know, Brady has carried them when he's had the weapons around him and he's thrown for 5,000 yards and 50 touchdowns and those sort of things. But more
he's
often
back.
Than not, what he's done is limited turnovers and win with field position and win the small battles throughout the game.
All right, hold that thought, Mike. Brian, is that you? Hey, Brian, how's it going, my man?
Good.
We're great. We're sitting here talking about the greatness of New England and how they're incredible, and the sun shines right out of Brady's butthole. It's awesome. What's going on, Brian?
You could have asked more. I mean, what a great intro. I mean, how can you not? No, I'm just kidding. I'm good. You know what? This is a tough game coming up, just due to the fact that the weapons that Brady's going to have are going to be very scarce here this game.
Yeah. Mike's already actually brought up that point, but thank you for hopping on that, because we talked about that actually a little bit in the last segment. They're just running out of players. They just don't have the same kind of weapons. But that being said, they come into Denver, probably their toughest game of the foreseeable future anyway, and not because of obviously the quarterback, they got Brock Osweiler, who looks pretty good but is not somebody you're going to be scared of, but because of the Denver defense. So this is going to be a real matchup of defenses here. What do you think – how do you think that New England's going to be able to attack Denver's defense, considering the fact that they don't have Edelman, Deion Lewis, Danny Amendola, those kind of guys?
Well, I think you're going to see a lot of LeGarrette Blount. I think they're going to try and establish a run and get some sort of running game, get some underneath passing games going here. Gronkowski is going to be very active, I think, in this game as well, in the passing game. And you're going to have to rely on Brandon LaFell also. So those three weapons, Blount, LaFell, and Gronkowski, are going to be big factors if they're going to win this game.
All right, I agree with that, too. I think also James White could be big for them today, too.
I was just going to say.
Yeah,
you took, honestly, you took the words right out of my mouth, because here's what's going to happen. Denver's not stupid. They're going to double-team Gronkowski at the line of scrimmage because he's the only guy that can beat them by himself. He will be double-teamed at the line. He will never be open in this game. If he's open, it's only because of a defensive breakdown. The defense is going to be keyed on him. LeGarrette Blount is not the type of runner that would typically have a lot of success against Denver. Denver's fast and strong up front, and he's going to be good for 2 or 3 yards, but he's just going to, they're going to use him to keep balanced and keep them in 3rd and 5 as opposed to 3rd and 12. That's what I see the usage of Blount. And then I think James White, as you said, I think he catches a bunch of balls out of the backfield today, and that's how they choose to attack.
Yeah, this is the classic game where New England just – this some guy you never heard off of their bench comes in and just has a huge game because, that's not who Denver's looking for. Okay, so who on Denver's offense – I mean – all right, well, I don't know. Who on Denver's offense would possibly scare the Patriots at this point without Peyton Manning? I don't know, Brian. What do you think?
Well, I think they're going to do what they did against the Bears is make – Osweiler comfortable. The Denver's going to make him comfortable in the pocket. They're not going to ask him, hey, go out and win this game. Manage the game, small underneath stuff, get that running game established. You can run on the Patriots. So I think you're going to see a lot of Ronnie Hillman in this game trying to establish a little bit of the run and just get some underneath stuff going, because you're not going to ask Osweiler, hey, throw it up 50 times and throw 400 yards and win the game. They're going to want him to just manage the game and not say, hey, go out and win this game. We're going to rely on our defense quite a bit because we got probably one of the best defenses in the NFL.
Yeah, I agree. I think that's exactly the plan you have to have with Brock Osweiler. You can't go out there and ask him to beat the New England Patriots at this stage in his career. I think they might have a good one here. You're going to want to see him for a few games, but he looked okay against Chicago, but again, like you said, they weren't asking him to go out there and win. They're just going to ask him to go out there and just put a representative effort together, move the ball down the field, let's get some points out of some drives, and let our defense win this game for us. And that's what they're going to have to do against New England. Obviously, a much bigger ask than against the Chicago Bears. All right, Brian, we've got about 12 and a half minutes left. We need to get to our pick six segment, so I hope you're prepared for this. It's going to be
one point, real quick.
Okay, go ahead.
You said who for Denver is going to beat them? Emmanuel Sanders.
Okay. Oh, yeah.
Demaryius
okay.
Thomas will not get off the line against Malcolm Butler. He'll shut him down. But Emmanuel Sanders is the guy that attacks New England's weakness.
As
That's
long as he's
guy.
Healthy and can catch the ball. Yeah, okay. I get you. I like it. Okay, good. All right, so we're going to go to the pick six segment now. It was good, right? You like that, bro?
Okay.
So good. All right. So we're going to go to the pick six segment now, and we're going to do it really quickly. So I just wanted to give me your answer, maybe a quick give me your winner and a quick little snippet of why they win. We're going to go. The first game is the Giants at Washington. Brian, who do you have today?
I like Washington. Look, the Giants are 5-5. This division is absolutely horrible. It's up for anybody to win except Dallas, because Dallas is just garbage. Look, Washington at home against Giants. I like Kirk Cousins and Jordan Reed. Giants are horrible against the pass. I think Cousins and Jordan Reed can combine for a couple touchdowns in this game. And Pierre Garçon, he's probably been the most consistent wide receiver for Washington. Eli Manning always has turnover problems on the road. I just like Washington at home.
Okay, I like it too. Go ahead, Mike. What's your pick? New York Giants at Washington.
I got Washington too. We already talked about this earlier, so
I'm gonna go the same way, Washington as well. Again, I will disagree with you on one point. I don't think this is a division that the Philadelphia Eagles are any longer involved in. I think this is a two-horse race. It's gonna be Washington and New York down the stretch, and this is where Washington starts to make their I picked them actually as my bold prediction to win this division. I think Washington starts to make their case today. Minnesota at Atlanta. Big matchup for playoff implications. Brian, who do you got?
Did Minnesota fall on their face last week against Green Bay. I had Minnesota winning that game last week, and boy, did they lay an egg at home. I think they rebound on the road. I think Bridgewater kind of struggles in this game. I think it's going to be all day Adrian Peterson here.
Very good. And Mike, who do you have?
I am on that plan as well. Atlanta is a 2.5-point favorite, but Atlanta has looked really bad for a few weeks running. I don't really get it.
Very interesting.
Yeah, I think Peterson runs all over him. I like Minnesota, and I like them to win by a substantial margin.
They're fraudulent. And you know how some defenses are sneaky good? Atlanta's is sneaky bad. Like, they don't do very much very well. They don't do very much very well at all. Okay. So I'm picking Minnesota as well. Miami at the New York Jets, Brian.
You know what? No Revis in this game. Jets defense is really good against the run. I think Tannehill struggles. Landry's kind of banged up. Rishard Matthews is sick. So I think they're going to struggle in moving the ball against the Jets. Like I said, the only benefit is that Revis is not playing in this game. I still like the Jets, though. Miami's run defense is horrible. Even with Sue, I mean, what a big bust. What a disappointment Miami's been. I think Chris Ivory's able to run on this defense here, and I think the Jets win this game.
Okay, Mike.
Yeah, don't pay head case defensive tackles a bunch of money.
There you go.
I'm going to go with the Jets as well. They're a 4.5-point favorite. On a game I'm kind of on the fence on, I'll go with Vegas, I guess.
You're going with the Jets? I'll go to the Jets as well. We're all agreeing on every game so far, so this is really good radio. I think the Jets are just a better team than Miami at this point, and that's saying a lot, I guess, or saying a little. St. Louis at Cincinnati. The Rams go to Paul Brown Stadium to take on the Bengals, Brian.
You know what? Bengals losing two straight. I think they get the ship right. They're at home. St. Louis, their offense sucks. I mean, Nick Foles is coming in for Case Keenum. I mean, really, Todd Gurley is the only bright spot on this team, but Cincinnati can stop the run. I'm going with Cincinnati at home.
All right, Michael.
I hate to all pick the same team every time, but it's this is another one. How do you pick against the 7.5-point spread at home? I think Cincinnati too, although I think Gurley could still have a big game. I think he's good enough that he might be matchup proof. But I got Cincinnati.
You got Cincinnati as well. Just a quick note here because we didn't mention it earlier. Stedman Bailey was shot in the head this week. He is currently suspended, but he's critical but stable. And he was conscious and talking. So anyway, there's that. And to your point, I think Todd Gurley is the only bright spot for the Rams in this game, and I think he is so bright he may blind you, but I'm still going to take the Cincinnati Bengals. How good is Todd Gurley? Oh, my goodness, he's so good. All right, we're going to move on.
He may be matchup proof.
Yeah, no, absolutely. I think the kid. I don't think you can scheme against him because he's fast. He's strong. He's shifty. He catches the ball. He runs the ball. He does. He'll finish a run. He'll make you miss. He'll run over you. He does all those things that, like, you know, it's like an Earl Campbell, Adrian Peterson type back. He does it all. Pittsburgh at Seattle. Who do you got, Brian?
Now I flip flop on this game earlier. This is a tough game for me to pick. Seattle's defense is still good. But Pittsburgh has a ton of weapons, even without Le'Veon Bell. You still have Antonio Brown. You still have Martavius Bryant. You still have D'Angelo Williams, who's somehow resurrected his career in Pittsburgh. But you still have Seattle's defense. They're still a really good defense. I just think Seattle's offense struggles. Russell Wilson struggled. Jimmy Graham has been an absolute bust this year for this team. It's so hard to pick against Seattle at home, but I'm going with the Steelers.
Okay. All right. Michael, what do you got?
We get to disagree. Woohoo!
All right.
I'm
going to
take Seattle. Now, Seattle is, as we've said many times, a different animal at home, and that's why I'm taking them. I actually think that neutral field, I think Pittsburgh's actually the better team in this game this year, but at Seattle, I like Seattle. Pittsburgh's traveling across the country.
All right. I'm gonna take Pittsburgh. I think for kind of the same reasons that Brian said, I just like their offensive weapons. I think they have a lot going for them. Big difference between Pittsburgh last year and Pittsburgh. If Pittsburgh had D'Angelo Williams as the backup running back to Le'Veon Bell last year, they don't lose in the first round of the playoffs and they move on. D'Angelo Williams has been more than representative of a backup running back in this season. He has been every bit as good as Le'Veon when he's been in there. So I like D'Angelo Williams. I like Pittsburgh's ability to run the ball and then also take the top off the defense. With Martavis Bryant and Antonio Brown. So I like what Pittsburgh's going to do today. I think they're going to win. All right, our game of the week.
Steelers coming off a bye week also.
Yes, absolutely. Coming off a bye, yep. All right, our featured game of the week. The New England Patriots at 10-0 go into Denver to take on Brock Osweiler and the Denver Broncos. Who do you got, Brian?
I'm sticking with New England until they lose. I know they're depleted offensively, but it's Tom Brady and Bill Belichick. I mean, these two guys, yep. It doesn't matter where they go, they just win. It doesn't matter who's on the field, they win. And until they lose, I'm going with New England.
All right, I like it. What do you got, Mike?
Come on now.
Come on now. The biggest Patriots fan in the world. I don't know, Brian, you're a Patriots fan too, right?
Oh, I'm a huge Patriots fan.
All right, so you guys can fight it out over who's the bigger Patriots homer.
I don't even have to pick. You know my pick. There's your homer.
I know. It's Tommy Terrific and the New England Patriots for the win. Yeah, it's good. You're both absolutely right. Here's the thing. It's too much of an ask for Brock Osweiler. The defenses are pretty similar in the fact that they're both very, very good and don't give up a lot of points. At the end of the day, it's going to come back to who has the better quarterback. And Brock Osweiler looks like he's got a decent future ahead of him, but I don't think it's the kind of future that Tommy Brady has behind him. Tom Brady is going to win this game. He's going to be the major difference. He's going to control the game. It's not going to be flashy necessarily. I think we're looking at somewhere around, 24-14, something like that. It should be fairly comfortable for the Patriots, but not a blowout necessarily. I think this is going to be a nice, easy, comfortable win for New England, and they go on to 11-0 and they're on this collision course with Carolina coming out of the other conference. I just don't see anybody who can stand in either one of these teams' way to get to Santa Clara and Levi Stadium in February and play in the Super Bowl.
It'd be such a great story for the NFL if both teams could make it there undefeated. I mean, I don't think it's going to happen just because it's a lot.
No, I don't think that's going to happen. I just don't see any other team that's talented. The only thing that's going to hurt that matchup, the only thing that's going to possibly stand in its way, and you can speak to this, is New England's offensive injuries right now. Brian, agree or disagree?
No, I agree. But you know what? Hopefully within that time frame, Julian Edelman will be back before the end of the season and actually, be healthy enough to play. And that's a huge plus if they can get him back before the playoffs.
It's a shame they didn't sign Wes Welker when he was available. Honestly, they should have signed Wes Welker when he was available.
I think Wes is done. I think Wes is so done.
He's better than no one.
Well, I suppose. But did you see the catch Chris Harper made last week? Even though it got called back on a penalty, I think that kid might have a big game today.
That was
Chris,
pretty
look
sick.
Look out for Chris Harper. Because, look, he's not white, but he is small. So Brady's going to love this guy.
Yeah, that's true.
He's their tiny little slot. Watch out for Chris Harper today. That's all I'm going to say. This kid, Chris Harper, he was on the field last week. He didn't get a lot of looks, but he's had a week to work with Brady. I think Chris Harper could have a big game today. What do you think, Brian? Chris Harper.
You know what? There's another guy, Keyshawn Martin.
Yeah. How about that? The guy they picked up earlier in the season. That's another one.
Michigan State.
Yeah.
So, real quick, you guys talked about unknowns in this game. There's two unknowns right there that could break out.
I'll tell you, that's one of those guys. It definitely would be the New England Patriots MO to have Chris Harper have 112 yards and two touchdowns today.
Scott Chandler.
I like it.
Scott Chandler, there you go.
That's a nice sleeper, too. They like to run two tight ends, though.
Yeah, so here we are. We're talking about how bad they are with their offensive, weapons down, and then we're like picking up four guys who could come out and have a couple touchdowns. God bless
if
you, Bill Belichick.
If I have to pick one, it's White, though, honestly. If I have to pick one guy, I like him.
I,
To me, it's James White or, and I'm saying Chris Harper because he's their slot. He's the new slot receiver. So that's where their offense is. So, all right, we got 45 seconds left. I want to remind you all that Brian Yates is the other half of the NFL standard. We've had Alan on a bunch of times. We're really happy to have Brian on. You're great. I wish we could have talked to you a little bit longer. So follow Brian. It's at FSW Yates. Is that correct?
Correct.
All right, at FSW Yates on Twitter, and listen to the NFL Standard Sunday mornings at 10 a.m. right here on the Fantasy Sports Warehouse Radio Network. And then when you're done with that, come over and join us for our last half hour, or do the opposite. You can always stream those online. So thanks, Brian, a lot for coming on with us today.
Well, thanks, guys, for having me on. Hope to be back on.
Thanks a lot, man. We appreciate it.
We would love to have you again, for sure.
Go Pats.
All right, Mike. Go Pats. There you go. All right, Mike.
I would echo that statement.
Good show today. Remember to follow Mike at Mastrolio123. Follow the show at Assignment F-Ball. And, of course, you can follow me at Duckman for Real and read my stories at LandryHat.com and Cover32.com. Thanks for joining us this morning, and have a great day. I hope your football day goes really, really well. Thanks for joining us on Assignment Football. We'll see you next week.